Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at pvclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
The words we speak. That will be our focus today. Last weekend, we had a marriage enrichment seminar, and there were approximately 60 couples here at PPC in attendance. And no matter how far along the journey you are, we continue to learn about ourselves and our spouses along that. In many couples, there are opposites. One spends, one saves. Well, in our family, when it comes to shopping, well, do you have to guess? Ruby is the shopper. I am not. Now, a little while ago, Ruby bought me a couple of pieces of clothing, but she said, "Don't worry, if you try it on and it don't fit, we can always bring it back." Well, folks, what a luxury it is to be able to return something and put the money back into the account like nothing happened. Or maybe there's that gift receipt that allows the recipient to return the item. No problem. The business will honor the gift receipt. The reality is that many things and circumstances that come along in life do not have a return policy. We make a decision and we realize that we have to live with that choice. More subtle than shopping, but more of a significant impact. What about our family things, our marriage, our work life? What about our speech, our thoughts? Those day-to-day conversations, our words. Have you ever wished for a return policy on a conversation or to retract some of those words or statements that you put out there? Well, Scripture has a lot to say about words. Why are words important? Our words have the opportunity to bless God or to curse God. They have the power to build up or tear down. The tongue is powerful and has the potential to destroy your eternity with God. And we need to pay attention to what Scripture says. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct our lives for now, but ultimately what takes place in eternity. Well, our Sunday morning preaching series, we continue in the book of Matthew. Today we're at Matthew chapter 12 and verses 31 to 37, and our text reads, "So I tell you, every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven. You see, anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this world or in the world to come. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad." And then he says, "You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart." Then he concludes, "And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words will either acquit you or condemn you." Lord, in these moments, we invite your Holy Spirit into this place, allowing you access into our lives. Lord, help us to be willing to hear you and respond to your leading and guiding. In Jesus' name, amen. Pretty strong words. We look at a screen. There's pretty strong words there from Jesus. The underlying theme of this text is our words determine our destiny. Whenever Jesus spoke with such force, he was usually talking to the religious people of the day, the ones who thought that they were all right spiritually. Now, just to put these verses into context, we do need to jump back to the previous verses. Pastor Marie spoke last Sunday on the devious actions of the scribes and Pharisees to plot against Jesus. I won't be able to go in as much detail now, but I encourage you to go back to March 19th, that sermon. You see, in this previous verses, Jesus performs miracles and healings. And as the people saw this, what was the people's response? "This Jesus, could this be the Son of David?" Now, what was the response of the religious people? Well, you see, their pride, their self-assumed power and position would not allow themselves to recognize and submit to Jesus' deity. The religious leaders denied the power and authority by which Jesus performed those miracles. And you see, it's with this background and speaking directly to those plotting against him that Jesus firmly states in verse 31, "So I tell you, every sin, every slander will be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either this age or in the age to come." That's a crazy verse, because don't we believe that God forgives all sin? So what is this sin that is unforgivable, or as some versions say, the unpardonable sin? Well, let's begin with, words have the power to convict. These words of blasphemy that were unforgivable and determine an eternity without God. We consider two things, the culture of the day and then where we sit today, how it responds to us. Well, the culture of the day, I just sort of mentioned that when Jesus performed this miracle, these miracles, the people present were seeing something unique and special about Jesus. When they saw that, they said, "Is this the Messiah? Is it possible that this is the Son of David?" Well, while the person on the street was ready to recognize the amazing miracles and acknowledge that this person must be the Messiah and choose to follow him, the religious leaders, the religious people, what did they attribute this power to? God? Divine deity? No. They said Jesus' ability came only from Beelzebub, the prince of demons. The NIV says these words next, that this fellow drives out demons. That this fellow drives out demons. The Pharisees had an amazing way to just twist and turn everything around. What should have been light, they were making it out to be darkness. They were declaring darkness, which was clearly light. A cold, blatant denial of Jesus Christ. You see, this is where this unforgivable sin for the Pharisees lie. Their absolute turn from Jesus and attitude sealed their destiny. Jesus on earth, part of the triune God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And for the Pharisees to not just deny Jesus, but to actually say he was the prince of demons, that's where this line gets crossed. That accusation spoken out caused Jesus' response. You see, the Pharisees conditioned, the hardness of their heart couldn't allow them to be open to Jesus, even to Jesus standing right there. That was unforgivable. One commentator, he says, the Holy Spirit is the person who works in the heart of man. It is he who convicts the world of guilt in regard to sin. And when man reaches such a point that he no longer sees God, feels God, or hears God, he has hardened his heart through the promptings of the Spirit permanently. That's where the unpardonable sin lies. Rejection, refusal, unbelief results in a dead spirit. Their words have convicted that person to an eternity without God. A person totally closed off from God and the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Folks, I know the words are strong. The words from Scripture, the words of Jesus. We don't want to get there. Let's respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit to change, to turn, to repent, to pray. Hebrews 3:12 says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." For you and I today, the unforgivable sin would be to ignore the promptings of the Holy Spirit over and over and over, where we don't see the need or sense the desire to repent of our words, our actions, our sins. And you see, when we reach that place where we don't see the need to repent, we can't be forgiven of something that we don't see or acknowledge. Therefore, we commit the unforgivable sin, that of absolute denial of sensing the Holy Spirit's conviction and power to guide us. The writer John Piper says, this sin puts you beyond repentance and therefore beyond forgiveness. Jesus' strong words here are a warning to not let this happen in our lives. Don't go down that pathway. Instead, turn to God. Salvation is about God's atoning work of Jesus dying on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins, of your sins, of our sins. If we can't sense that, we have sealed our destiny apart from God, just like the religious leaders of that day. But hey, as strong as that is, here's the good news. If you are listening today and your heart is open to allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, to forgive your sins, eternity with God is available. And we haven't committed that unforgivable sin. We can still ask for forgiveness. Verse 31 says, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven. I referred to the heart. Why do I do that? Because that is where our tongue, our mouth, our lips, our words get its firepower. Our heart is at the center, the root of who we are, our core. And if our tongue freely expresses what's in our heart, wow, our true heart becomes exposed. Well, Jesus continues to challenge the Pharisees in verse 33. He says, a tree is identified by its fruit. If the tree is good, the fruit is good. If the tree is bad, the fruit is bad. He's basically saying, hey, can't you see what's going on here? Can't you see what everyone else is seeing? This is good fruit. But what did they see? They couldn't see it. They wouldn't see it because it was a heart matter. You see, our words flow from our heart. And Jesus strikes back at the religious leaders in verse 34, and he proclaims, we read the New Living Translation, another version of those verses. It says, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. My kids have used the expression that a person is snake. You can't trust what they say. They say one thing and mean something else. Well, Jesus called it exactly like it was, and it was pretty forceful. He referred to this group as vipers, a poisonous snake. The viper has the potential to destroy, to kill. And you see, it's one thing to act on your own. But when a poisonous snake is threatened, cornered, or under attack, they will lash out and release their poison into someone else. When that happens, that person doesn't have a chance. They are just as good as dead. Friends, for you and I, the power of our words have the power to reach out into someone else's life, to release those poisonous words into someone else's life. And now it's not just us now that's being affected. It is the person that we're referring to and speaking into. Now they are poisoned because of the words that we have. And they are just as good as dead. The Pharisees were bad people. While they looked and acted the part of what a godly person should be, in their eyes, at their spiritual core, their heart, they were selfish, prideful, only interested in themselves, their own power and authority, to the extent that they missed the person of God in flesh, Jesus Christ, here on earth. At that point, they were willing to poison and kill anyone in their way. They dragged down others with them. Their heart was evil. Friends, we need to be careful. Our words have the power to damage, to poison, to destroy. And I say, let's protect our heart. That's where it really comes from. Our heart is that spiritual core, what's on the inside. Transformation of my heart, of our hearts, is the answer. Human nature cannot be made good. It has to be transformed. And the only person that can do that is God reaching into us and for us allowing him to work in our lives. That's the answer. It's a spiritual answer, a spiritual change of mine and your heart. Let's be willing to take those steps to change. Don't allow your heart to become hardened. Respond to the Holy Spirit. Follow through on the choices and decisions that are Holy Spirit led. You see, our heart has some options. Verse 35 says, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Luke chapter 6, 45 takes these same words, but they add a phrase on the end. So it says a good person and an evil person, and then Luke adds these words, what you say flows from what is in your heart. Your heart, my heart, matters and affects what we say. What's the condition of your heart? Are you in a good place, or are you in a dark place? Is your heart still open to God, willing to repent and ask forgiveness? This portion of Scripture is highlighting our speech, our words, and I believe that words matter for now. Words make a difference. Our words impact people's lives. Good words, good results. Negative words, negative results. What's that underlying theme? That our words determine our destiny. And as much as we heard about speech, tongues, in Scripture, all said, Jesus still takes the point here to make sure that we understand how important it is. While we talk about speech, what people hear, who sees and is aware of all the words, all that's going on right here? The heard words, the unheard words, the written words, the unwritten words? Well, Psalm 139:4 says, before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. Before a word sits here, God knows it. How sobering it is to realize that God is aware of the words that are on our lips and on our minds. Do your words speak life? Do they build up? Do they edify? Or do my words sing of discord, jealousy, negativity, tear others down? In verse 36, Jesus makes it clear that words matter. He says that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every idle or empty word. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 to 4 describes some of those words. It says, no hint of sexuality, impurity, greed, obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20 says, I fear that there may be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, disorder. Words matter. Our words can damage and kill. Friends, when we use these words, we're basically doing Satan's work for him. And I say, let's not give the enemy any kind of a foothold or head start in our lives or in someone else's life. Let's stop, repent, ask forgiveness. Scripture outlines these sins of expressed words, but I do feel the need to say that there are times when there are no verbal words spoken out loud, but they still speak volumes. You know what I mean. The marriage enrichment seminar, there's times in a marriage relationship that one can be given the cold shoulder. No words expressed, but that action means so much more and can be just as devastating. Our body language or the tone that we use, our actions can be so devastating. What about words put on paper? I'm not much of a social media guy, but I know some of you are. What about what's put on social media, what's expressed digitally? That can be just as damaging. So much for us to consider. Your words, my words, matter. Let's act on the Holy Spirit's conviction to repent and ask forgiveness for our words. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are all sinful and in need of God's love, mercy, forgiveness. But that requires confession and repentance on our part. Words matter for now, but words matter for eternity. Jesus' final words in this text in verse 37, he says, the words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. A courtroom comparison, kind, gracious, loving, edifying words go one way. Ugly, angry, spiteful, gossiping, grumbling, those words go another way. You're probably no different than I am. I don't want to be condemned. I want that acquittal that comes from God. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has what? The power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. We have the power of life and death. All of us have control of our tongue and what comes out. We can't blame anybody else for the abundance or lack of words that are spoken or verbalized. No one actually can put words in my mouth. No one can actually put words in your mouth. Folks, Jesus' words were strong because he loves us so much that he wants us to spend eternity with him. He went hard at the Pharisees because they ignored his deed, denied the miracles that were being done through God's power, and they were destroying people and others along the way. For us, we can be forgiven. Our words can be forgiven. I've said it several times already. Every sin and slander will be forgiven. We can't retract our words. We can't get them back. But we can ask forgiveness to say I'm sorry and then move forward with a renewed caution to watch our words. Our words determine our destiny. These words today from Scripture are challenging for us to hear and listen. But I believe that as we listen and respond to what the Holy Spirit says, he can help us make our words amazing and influence down the road to those we come in contact with. You see, today, the choice is ours. That choice is ours to repent of some words or to keep going down this pathway that will lead us apart from God forever because of my words. We can make the right choices. I finish with this final verse, and it's found in Psalm chapter 19, verse 14. And it states, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my fortress. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock, my fortress. I invite you to bow your heads for a moment and to reflect on the words of our mouth and the thoughts of our heart. Are they pleasing to God? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? I say, don't ignore or wait till another time. We want others to know about God. We encourage others outside these church walls or people who don't know God to repent of their sins and ask forgiveness. Well, inside the walls, inside our hearts, there's a need for repentance. When you and I think about our words, they can be forgiven, but they require confession and repentance. Do you need to repent of some words that got out of line? Do you need to repent of some words that took a bite out of someone else, whether they know it or not? Do you need to repent of the tone of our words or some words that were left unsaid? And maybe for some, you already recognize and know that it has already gone much deeper. And you just repent and allow God to work inside in our hearts so that what becomes expressed is what's good and proper. Folks, it really is up to you and I. Are we willing to repent when the Holy Spirit responds, speaks into our life? Are we willing to respond to Him and say, "Yes, Lord, forgive me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable." Allow me to pray for you today. Lord, we recognize today that as we read from Scripture, that your Son Jesus, there were strong words and insults that were used against him. And Lord, when that happens, he responded with challenging and saying and asking for repentance. Lord, we realize that there are times when we've gone down that road and it may seem like there's no way back. But God, I would ask today that for those in-house, for those watching, listening online, that there are the things that you've brought to our minds, to our hearts. And God, that we would say today that I'm going to stop those kinds of words. I'm going to ask forgiveness, repent of those sentences, those expressions, those attitudes. So Lord, today, just with those with hands raised, those with the attitude of the repentance of heart and mind, Lord, we know that you, by your Holy Spirit, you answer, you forgive, you lead, you guide. God, you want the best for us. So we're asking today that where we need to repent, where we need to ask for forgiveness, that we would do that. And Lord, we know that when we do that, God, you do forgive, you do cleanse, and you have your Holy Spirit with us so that we can move forward, go down the road, and make a difference for you and not the other way. And God, as we allow you to work in our lives, you have this incredible way of working things out well and then making us useful in your kingdom to share you with others as opposed to the other. We want to be closer to you. We want to bring others to that place where they can know you. And Lord, we want to do that well. We ask all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.